Helping Hand, it's a new weekly feature here on HPR, helping folks in need. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and today we are covering MS in Hawaii and presenting information for those in need of support or with someone in their life who could use help. We're learning about some of the resources available with our guest, Candace Schwalbach, manager of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society Hawaii office, and Sharon Dodge, who is living her second journey with this disease, first with her father, and now with herself having MS. And a big aloha and mahalo, Candace and Sharon. Thanks for
aloha.
Thank you.
Coming down to HPR to speak with us. MS affects 2.1 million people around the world who suffer with the disease. Of course, countless family members and friends are also on that journey, if you will, affected by their loved ones suffering. Locally, there's about 600 people with MS in Hawaii, and often many people who are not affected in some way by MS don't know much about it. Maybe it's because there are other diseases that have a series of letters, and so it gets confusing to folks who don't know. When you're thinking about it from the perspective of trying to educate folks, and undoubtedly you have that experience, Candace, working in the office that you do, share with us a bit of background on multiple sclerosis.
MS is a challenging disease. It affects your central nervous system, so your brain, your spinal cord, your optic nerve, and basically it's about the flow of information within your body. So think of it like a cord that has a coating, and your body is attacking the coating that's on that cord. And it starts to wear away or deteriorate the protection, which is called myelin, and disrupts the flow of information between your body and the brain.
So Sharon, how would you describe MS to folks as someone who experiences it?
Like you said, I'm on my second journey with this disease. So for my father, MS came across as one thing. He had a very progressive form of the disease. He went downhill very quickly. At the young age of 48, my dad was dead. When I was diagnosed 8 years after his death, I obviously had those same visions in my mind and thought that maybe I would go down that same path. It's been the opposite for me. For reasons unknown, I've been blessed with relapsing remitting MS.
MS affects everyone so very differently, from tingling in your fingers to numbness to vision changes and things like this. We have talk story groups, self-help groups around Oahu, also on the other islands, where people can come together and talk about just the daily challenges and the ways that they are working through them. We have educational programs. We work with the doctors and neurologists around town as well, financial assistance programs, scholarship programs. And of course, you can just always call. We have a resource center, so help with employment issues or legal issues.
When someone sees someone in a wheelchair or who is suffering, they think, oh, I obviously know why they need help. But it goes beyond the obvious thing of the illness. There are those things, you kind of touched on it, but I was hoping you would talk a little more about it. And I think of those as perhaps even more catastrophic. Is if you're immobile, the other necessities of life start to pile up. The bills, the mortgage on the house, appointments you can't get to, stuff gets rescheduled. Just getting there when you have a large mechanical device that you're required to travel in can be near impossible. The costs that are associated with it. What are some of the challenges, aside from MS, that people call your office and are frustrated having to deal with in the ways I just described that it is affecting their life?
So MS is a very expensive disease. The disease-modifying drugs are quite costly every month, anywhere from, you know, $5,000 to $15,000 a month for these drugs. And that puts a financial burden on the family. And if then their MS gets worse or their abilities, it also affects cognitive function. If their abilities are decreasing, then they're going to need assistance in many ways. And at that point, I urge you to call us because we can specifically help in those areas. Maybe it's helping work with an employer to educate them on MS and ADA accessibility, or maybe it's Social Security and how it works or questions like that.
How much are you involved in home health care and needs that people have when they come up against home health care? People hear the words, and it's not really it's a huge issue. And for people, a lot of people suffering from MS, and I don't have the numbers, but I know it's probably great, and not just MS. I mean, I extend it to disabled people everywhere, but I mean, your expertise is obviously that, and so I respect your, you know, I would limit you to talking about that. But when you think about that, people are they're challenged in a lot of different ways when it comes to MS, and they have very limited mobility. when you think about the home health care aspect, how are you guys involved with assisting them in living with what are catastrophic circumstances and staying in their homes?
It's a challenge because a lot of homes don't have the modifications that are needed. So we work with them to an accessible restroom or even a ramp to get into the house, things like that. These are things that we'll help with. And again, we just need the phone call and we'll start the ball rolling. And if it's beyond our scope of abilities, we pull in the people that are needed and we ask for help from the community to help those families.
Okay, so you do look out for volunteers, and we'll give people the contact information. And obviously, at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, you can always find all the Helping Hand features online and get all the contact information there. When it comes to intervening and playing a role of advocacy, are you there for that too? There's a lot of people who end up being very frustrated in the situation of facing the challenges of their disability and facing it often on their own, When you're up against insurance companies, healthcare providers, who are often multi-billion-dollar organizations who are so legally protected, it becomes one person against the system. Are there situations like that where the local chapter of the MS Society is invaluable to people?
Absolutely. And it's funny, we were just talking about advocacy as we walked out of the office today. The National MS Society does a very big movement in Washington when we all go out there in our sea of orange and speak. And actually, Sharon has been. So would you like to speak to that?
I've been several times to the public policy conference. There's nobody better than a person that's actually living with MS or even somebody with MS that's, has a walker or a wheelchair, and watch them go around Washington, D.C. and to, Senate buildings all day long. But we do have quite a sea of voices in our advocacy department, so to speak, for the National MS Society. It's always a very humbling time to go and sit in front of your state senator and see that sometimes maybe they're not really listening to you, but you can tell when you've got that one that's all ears and is listening. So
you're behind this organization. What did they do for your father that you can point to as invaluable in easing his suffering or making his life better?
So my father was in Maryland on the East Coast, and a great Maryland chapter there. So you were discussing the home health care aspect, and of course the National MS Society played a huge part in that for my father. I forget the name of the device that would lift him from the chair to the bed and vice versa. And when I was a small child, I mean, the first time I heard the words MS, I was 10 years old, and I just jumped right into what was an MS readathon back then and got to meet famous people like Brooks Robinson and stuff, because I'd always be the top dog. I raised the most money, read the most books. So
they were there. So you found them to be of assistance for your dad. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't imagine that you would be supporting them if they hadn't had a role in his life. For people trying to understand the challenges associated with MS, you watched it up close. Are there things that you would point out that you would want people to know while you have the floor here that maybe people don't understand about the disease? Is there anything that you think is important to say about it?
Well, again, it just brings back memories of being a little girl, and my dad was a pilot for American Airlines, so he was strong and healthy, and MS took him down fast, and I was his first cane, so his hand on my shoulder for stability and support, and I remember people staring at us thinking that my dad was drunk because of the way he was walking. And I see people today with the disease that resist going to the cane or resist going to the walker as long as they can. And people do stare. And my dad's response was, "Sweetie, just look at them and smile." And immediately the person looks away. So that was the way I dealt with that. But when my dad was sick, he had no options available to him. And today I've almost lost count of the disease modifying therapies that are available out there. And I'm certain that that has changed my path with this disease. And the progress that, has taken us forward from the time of my father's death to me living with MS right now, the progress that the National MS Society has made and the funding that has gone into NIH and trials and, all sorts of stuff to come up with better disease-modifying therapies is just amazing. The progress in the last 10 years alone is mind-blowing. I mean, we're talking about regenerating or regrowing or repairing myelin. And 10 years ago, we weren't having this discussion. So it's just an incredible time, I say for myself, to be living with this disease.
For folks who are inspired to help out, I always try to present these things in hopes that our affluent, deep-pocketed audience all over the state, that it'll appeal to their hearts. How could people help out the organization? What are things that you could use? Is it cash? Is it skilled volunteers? We talked about installing different grab bars and things in people's houses, or you were mentioning that, ways that the MS Society can get involved when people contact them. What are ways that people could, that you know, you need help from the public?
All of the above. The financial sponsors are always appreciated because they are the ones that can fund our financial assistance programs. They are the ones that can bring resources and doctors to the island. We only have two specialized neurologists who specialize in MS. We have a great deal who have a focus in MS, and they are awesome doctors too, but we only have two specialists in the entire state. So the ability to bring more resources and other specialists here is crucial. So funding is always important, but volunteers who can help us with the awareness piece is just as important. So in any way that anyone wants to help, they're welcome.
Or when people who have MS need helpers, or do you guys offer any of that? Like people who will go and bring them stuff, any kind of compassion visits, or do you have that kind of capacity or role with your volunteers, or is that not something that you do?
MS Awareness Week is a big time when we get out there. So March is MS Awareness Month, and the week is the 3rd through the 8th. Let's hope I'm right on that. And so that is when a lot of our projects and our outreach kind of really hits the community, and not just Oahu, all the islands. So if they're interested in getting their hands dirty, then give us a call.
And you speak to people, the information we have for contact info is good statewide?
Statewide.
And you can plug people in with local resources?
Absolutely. If you're ready to build a ramp, give me a call.
Okay. And the contact info that I've got is mshawaii.org. And then locally, 808-532-0806. They've got an 800 number, 800-344-4867. And again, it's mshawaii.org, 808-532-0806, 800-344-4867. And obviously at hawaiipublicradio.org, we've got all that information archived. Is there anything else that you think is important to share with folks while you got the floor?
Sure. Walk MS. It's a big campaign. It'll be at the Aloha Stadium on April 12th from 4 p.m. to 7. Come on out and join us. Or if you're an avid cyclist or even kind of sort of like a bicycle, we do a big bike ride, 115 miles over 2 days on the Ironman course in Kona. For those that are like, whoa, absolutely not, that's fine. We pick you up. It's a catered ride, so rest stops every 7 to 11 miles, and we'll pick you up at any point in time. And the Hilton Waikoloa sponsors it, and so you don't have to go tent or sleep in a tent or hang out on the side of the road. We'll bring you back to the hotel until day two.
Sharon, anything?
I just have to add that that's an awesome event. Our family's been involved in Bike MS for nearly 10 years now, including our children, and it's just such a great way to come together. And even I ride because I can still ride. But what an incredible ride that was this past year in Kona. It was incredible. And we're always looking for volunteers as well to come and help out with rest stops. And even if you don't ride, it's an amazing event to be a part of.
Yeah, a lot of ways you could help out. So obviously, even if you don't have cash and you just want to help, they need a database of people to do the labor force that they described, mshawaii.org. You can sign up for that, no doubt. And am I pronouncing your last name right? Schwalbach?
Yes, sir.
All right. Candace Schwalbach, as I say it again, just wanted to make sure, manager of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society Hawaii office, and Sharon Dodge, living her second journey with the disease, first with her father, and now with herself having MS. I appreciate both of you guys coming down here and being my guests for Helping Hand on All Things Considered.
Thank you.
Thank you.